Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Thanks again for making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. Quick shout out to Cheesehead TV and Packer Reports, huge friends of the show. Make sure you're checking out their content every single day. They support Pack-A-Day, so make sure you are supporting them as well. Today, we're going to be going over one of the best training camp battles that is about to take place on the entire roster. And it's not a who's going to make the 53-man roster battle. It is who is going to start at corner opposite Jair Alexander. And this is probably one of the very few starting battles that is going to be taking place in all of training camp. There's probably a couple spots up for grabs on the offensive line, and we kind of know there's going to be some potential to rotate through those. We talked about the potential, you know, different options that the Packers have at that offensive line spot. If you didn't listen to that episode, highly recommend checking that out. But there's probably six guys that are fighting for five spots, and it's going to come down to Rashid Walker, Jordan Morgan, and Sean Ryan, maybe Josh Myers, but in all likelihood, probably just going to come down to those three for two spots, with Myers getting center and Jenkins and Tom being the other ones. Running back's going to be Jacobs. Wide receiver, they're going to rotate all of those guys so much anyway. I don't really care who's the starters. Same thing with Musgrave and Kraft. One of them will be the one of them will be the two. They're both going to play a ton. Defensive ends, we know, are going to be Gary and Preston, with the rest, you know, with LVN and Enigbare rotating in. Same thing on the defensive tackle as wide receiver. Like, Kenny Clark's going to play a ton. And then the rest of the guys, Wyatt, Slayton, and Brooks specifically, are just going to rotate a bunch. Linebacker, Quay is going to be one. I think we can probably just say Edgerrin Cooper is going to be number two. Yes, it's going to be maybe a training camp battle. It's only going to be a training camp battle until they officially give it to Edgerrin Cooper. Like, it's going to happen. So we can kind of leave that one there. Jair is going to start. I think still Keyshawn gets the slot position. Xavier McKinney is going to be the safety. And then maybe there's a battle between Javon Bullard, Anthony Johnson Jr., and, you know, maybe Ketano Ladapo, Evan Williams. But that probably just ends up being Javon Bullard. So what you end up with is kind of, again, that offensive line battle. And then today's episode, today's topic, Eric Stokes versus Carrington Valentine, and who wins that starting job opposite of Jair Alexander. So in order to kind of go through all of that, we have to first start with where things are right now. In 2023, Carrington Valentine played 846 snaps as a rookie. He was a seventh round pick a season ago, and he started in 14 games. This is not your normal average seventh round rookie who maybe got a couple snaps here and there. This was a legitimate starting corner through almost the entirety of last season. Eric Stokes, meanwhile, has only played 587 snaps combined in the past two seasons. So Carrington, 846 last year. Stokes, 587 in the last 2 years combined. Valentine started 14 games last year. Stokes only has 11 starts in the last two seasons combined. And we should also note that Eric Stokes has looked nothing like himself over those past two seasons, prior to the injury in 2022, and then after the injury in 2023, he has not looked like the rookie first-round pick version of Eric Stokes. Per PFF, Eric Stokes' grades over his three seasons in the NFL had a 63.5 grade as a rookie, a 53.7 as his second year before he got injured, and then a 51.5 grade in the two games that he came back and played in a season ago. So 65.5, 53.7, 51.5. Now, as much as we all love Carrington Valentine, you can't say that he just went out and absolutely crushed it. He played well for a seventh round pick and for a rookie, but his grade, 57.5. Worse than Stokes's rookie season, but better than his second and third season grades. For me, I had Stokes as a plus 1.25 grade as a rookie. -3.65 in his second year, -0.25 in those two games from a season ago. My grade for Valentine last year was a -1.45 grade. Now, for anyone that knows me, that anyone's been following me for any period of time, I hope you know how much I really enjoy Carrington Valentine. I think he can be a legitimate starter. But that doesn't mean that he was just all of a sudden seventh round pick, enter him in, and he's great. He's an unbelievable corner on the outside from day one. There were plenty of issues and hiccups on tape from a season ago that he's going to need to improve upon in year two in order to take that step and potentially earn that spot over Eric Stokes. We should also note that in OTAs and in minicamp, it was Eric Stokes that was the number one corner opposite Jair Alexander. Now, there were only two practices that we were open to that we got to see as media members that Jair Alexander was practicing and there was a starter opposite of him. In those two specific practices, it was Eric Stokes. When Jair was not there or was not practicing, it was Stokes and Valentine starting. Because it is such a small sample size, I mean, we only saw two of the open practices. And remember, they had other practices that were not open to the media in OTAs. It very well could have been that on the days that we were not there, it was Valentine starting and Stokes was not the guy. We don't know if there was some sort of rotation there. And it just so happened that the 2 days that there was open to the media that we could see who was opposite Jair, it just happened to be Stokes. Or it may have been Stokes the entire time. But it's worth noting there were only two practices we got to see with a starter opposite Jair, and it was Eric Stokes both times. The other thing we should note here is that both Eric Stokes and Carrington Valentine have received heaps of praise through OTAs and mini camps, specifically from Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur talked about how with Carrington Valentine, they asked him to put on strength. He put on a bunch of muscle. He looks in great shape, best shape of his career sort of season. But he looks fantastic. He looks like he did exactly what they asked him to do. Doesn't look like he lost a step at all. He looks like he's in phenomenal shape. And Eric Stokes, Matt LaFleur said, is in the best physical and mental shape of his entire career, or that he looks better physically and mentally than he's looked in his entire career. That's pretty high praise for him as well. And the other thing we should probably note as well is that this was a position that was a bit of a question mark going into this offseason. Jair Alexander was suspended a year ago, did not play up to his normal standard. Eric Stokes, as we talked about, has not been himself the past 2 years and has had a plethora of injuries. Carrington Valentine was solid to average to good for a rookie in his first year, but still some question marks there. Keyshawn Nixon was up and down in the slot. You know, Corey Ballantyne was a great story, but it's not like he's just this automatic plug and play starting corner. Yet, the only real addition to the entire cornerback room outside of Gemin Green was a seventh round pick, Kalen King. And it's not like Green Bay was lacking for draft capital. They had plenty of draft capital to spend, and they didn't spend a single ounce of draft capital on a corner until their very last pick, which was almost the last pick of the entire draft. And again, that was Kalen King. And in free agency, we saw them spend money. We saw them spend money on Xavier McKinney. We saw them spend money on Josh Jacobs. They did bring back Keyshawn Nixon with a solid contract, but they could have gone out and spent money on free agency at corner, and they did not. What that would probably tell you is that they have faith in their current corner room. And that is what Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur have said over and over again, is that they like the state of this cornerback room. I'm not sure they would have said otherwise. Not like they're going to come out and be like, yeah, we're bracing for impact. These guys are terrible. Buckle up because it could be a long year. I do legitimately believe that the tell here is that they did not go and get anyone really in free agency or in the draft outside of a complete free agent flyer in Gemin Green and a complete very last, you know, pick of the draft almost flyer in Kalen King. That's all they added. So that would tell me they feel pretty good about both Carrington Valentine and Eric Stokes, which I'll say one more time, they have praised those two to the nth degree so far this offseason. Eric Stokes was obviously a first-round pick in 2021. Carrington Valentine was a seventh-round pick in 2023. The last thing before we kind of break this down a little bit further that is also worth noting from this offseason is the Packers did not pick up Eric Stokes' fifth-year option this offseason. So he will be an unrestricted free agent after this season. Regardless if he plays amazing or terrible or anything in between, he will hit the open market unless Green Bay and Stokes come to some sort of agreement on a long-term deal prior to him becoming a free agent. But before those negotiations even remotely take place, the Packers are going to need to see a lot more from Eric Stokes this upcoming year. So let's go to the sort of the two scouting reports for both of these players coming out of college, because yes, Eric Stokes is going into year four, but we really only saw rookie year Eric Stokes. So it's sort of worth revisiting this. And yes, Carrington Valentine played last year. We'll go through some of those notes as well. But really, he again is just 1 year removed from college. The talent themselves, like the players that they are, is still going to match very much their initial scouting report. Eric Stokes coming out 6 foot 194, 9.37 relative athletic score, did all the testing, a 4.31 40-yard dash. Here was his scouting report from NFL.com. Strengths: occasional flashes of playmaking instincts, had 2 interception returns for touchdowns in 2020, poised through press release, stands his ground against physical targets, fights back against push-offs at the top of the route, can run with mismatch caliber speedsters on crossing routes, hyper twitchy with downhill drive to his target, plays into the receiver when phasing downfield. His weaknesses: slim lower body with lack of play strength, doesn't fully trust what he sees yet, mostly right place, right time interceptions, takes extra steps on lateral transitions from shuffle to backpedal. That is definitely something that showed up. Tardy gaining playmaking positioning and coverage, below average poise and balance downfield. Opponents run through his solo tackle tries, and he's likely to be isolated and targeted by run games. The overview: speed and quickness should allow him to stay with route runners or within closeout distance when he gets behind. We saw that his rookie year. Stokes played with better press technique in 2020, and he's willing to get physical near the goal line, but his play strength is below average. While there have been mild flashes of playmaking potential, he's more likely to play the receiver rather than attacking the football and looking for takeaways. He's twitchy in tight quarters with the potential to become more disruptive in zone. His size, speed, and athleticism could make him a day two pick as a future corner three, but his weaknesses as a run defender will be challenged quickly by NFL offenses. Carrington Valentine's scouting report: 5'11", 193 coming out, 9.30 RAS, did not do the three cone, 4.44 40-yard dash, 4.44 seconds in the 40. His strengths from, again, NFL.com: well-built with a long athletic frame, capable of handling press and bail coverages, limited cornerback experience with room for improvement, adequate plant and drive from the top of his drop, faces up to deep sideline throws and locates the ball, rakes through catch point to jar the ball free. Weaknesses: only one career interception and multiple drops of would-be interceptions, not enough juice to close out receivers after coverage missteps, below average aggression handling run-stopping duties, takes giant bites out of double moves, and takes some very poor angles to ball carriers. His overview: Valentine has the physical traits necessary for the NFL, but his instincts and body control to extend his coverage against quality route runners leave something to be desired. He's solid at crowding vertical throws and can play press and bail, but he has had coverage busts in zone. Also, he bites too easily on double moves. Valentine's lack of aggression as a run defender could make it tougher for zone teams to give him a chance. Hey friends, we're all excited that training camp is just around the corner, but that doesn't mean that there's not a ton of exciting sports action going on right now. The Brewers are in first place in the NL Central, the Euros have been absolutely phenomenal, and Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever keep getting better week by week. Plus, we've got NBA Summer League action, and whether you're a fan of the WNBA, European football, Major League Baseball, or Summer League basketball, all of them are better when you combine it with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, Georgia, and most importantly, Wisconsin. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. So join in on the fun and become part of the Prize Picks community today. This week, I'm sticking with the young guns in the WNBA, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, and I'm also expecting a big Brewers bounce back after a rough series against the Dodgers, and also I'm going with Kylian Mbappe to break out in his match against Spain. There's never been a better time to get in the action with Prize Picks. And as always, the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey friends, wherever you are in your walk in life, whatever your financial situation is, and whatever phase of life you may be in, we're all working towards our financial goals in our own unique way. Whether it be purchasing your first house, buying a new car, or even setting plans to travel the world, bad, below average, or non-existent credit can hold you back from that next big purchase and can sidetrack those goals. That's where Kickoff comes in. Kickoff is the fastest and easiest way to safely jumpstart your credit and hit those financial goals quicker. My favorite aspect of Kickoff and the reason I recommend Kickoff to my friends and family is because it's insanely easy to use. You can sign up for a monthly plan within minutes and you can start building credit immediately for as low as $5. Plus, check this out. Users with credit under 600 increase their credit by an average of 30 points within the first month. 1 month, 30 points higher. That's because Kickoff is a safe, easy, and legit credit hack with no catch and no credit checks. And you can cancel at any time, hassle-free. Kickoff has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store and 98% are 5 stars. So join over 1 million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for a dollar. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C. Get KIKOFF.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax Vantage Score 3.0 changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payments and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. So again, both of these players, very interesting players. We've seen them both start in Green Bay. We saw Stokes have a lot of success as a rookie, take major step back in year two before having a plethora of injuries and then coming back super rusty for 2 games in year three. Carrington Valentine, meanwhile, a lottery ticket, 7th round selection that immediately showed in training camp, OTA's mini camp, that he was a player that they could potentially count on going into the season. He played a ton in his rookie season as a 7th round pick, got more snaps than I'm sure they were probably maybe hoping or expecting that he would. He overall held up well, not great, not fantastic, but for a 7th round rookie, pretty darn impressive. Now, here's the thing about Valentine, before we get into how both of these players fit in Jeff Hafley's defense. I've talked about this on numerous occasions in the past, especially at corner. Demarius Randle, Quentin Rollins, Josh Jackson, Eric Stokes. All four of those players as rookies, think back to just their rookie year. We felt pretty good about them as rookie corners, that they were solid to good to adequate as a rookie. And all we're thinking is, man, imagine now what they're going to be through the rest of their career as they continue to progress and get better. Eric Stokes got worse. Josh Jackson got worse. Quentin Rollins got worse. Demarius Randle got worse. Ladarius Gunter got worse. So some of these guys that look really good right away, or at least adequate, solid, that we're maybe giving a little bit more forgiveness to as rookies because they're rookies and we expect them to progress and get better, it doesn't always work that way. With Carrington Valentine, we saw a 7th round pick that showed a ton of potential, that had some struggles in year one, that in year one, as a rookie, we have the tendency to overlook a little bit more and say, those are rookie mistakes that he'll clean up over time. If he does, look out. If he doesn't, we might have a very similar conversation to some of these other rookies that looked okay year one, but then never got better. And that's what we're trying to avoid, clearly, with Carrington Valentine, and hopefully he can take that step this upcoming season. Now, how do both of these players fit within Jeff Hafley's defense? One, both should benefit. This is going to be a more attacking, aggressive, press man, or at least man-to-man coverage defense. Are they going to use zone? Of course, obviously. Goes without saying. They'll throw every coverage that is known to man out there. but they're going to play more man than Joe Barry's defense did. And that will help both of these players tremendously. They will have an extra man in the box at safety, which hopefully doesn't make it that they have to do quite as much run defending. They're still going to have to do it. But the more important thing here is in coverage, they are going to get matched up in situations that I think both of these players enjoy a lot more and are built for more as man cover corners. Now, that doesn't mean their job is easier. In fact, in a large way, playing man, I think, probably the harder of the two coverage skill sets. But for these two corners in particular, and for Jaire Alexander, this is what they like to do. This is what they were built to do. Joe Barry was running a defense with man, a zone defense with man corners. Now he has man corner, or this defense, they're man corners that are actually going to get to play man defense. That should be a huge benefit to both of these players. And I think we're going to see those natural instincts and that aggressive mentality from Carrington Valentine come out. And we're going to see, I think, some opportunities for him to jump on some routes and maybe get some interceptions. I know he only had the one in college. He was a machine in training camp picking off passes a season ago. I think that will carry over. With Eric Stokes, he is built for this sort of defense. He's got the speed. He's got the size. He has the physicality. Now, he doesn't always use it the best, but he has it. It's at his disposal. He is built for this type of defense. So both of these guys should absolutely benefit. Both are better in man coverage. Both want to play more aggressive. Stokes, at his best, is a near perfect fit for Jeff Hafley's defense. Both of these players are outside corners. I do think Valentine could play a bit in the slot, but I think both of them are going to be primary outside corners, which is why we're not talking about Eric Stokes versus Keyshawn Nixon or Carrington Valentine versus Keyshawn Nixon. Jaire is an outside corner. Stokes is an outside corner. Valentine's an outside corner. Jaire is going to get one of those, and then it's going to be up to either Stokes or Valentine to win that other spot. And I will say, I would love both of them to improve their run defense and tackling in 2024. And the player that does that and shows improvement might just get a leg up and actually earning that long-term starting spot at that outside corner position opposite Jaire Alexander. The advantages and disadvantages to each. First of all, it would be hard to argue that Stokes wasn't the better peer player slash prospect coming out of college. And he had a better rookie season than than Carrington Valentine had. Stokes is bigger. He's faster. He's stronger. He is built for this style of defense. And there's a very clear reason why Stokes was a first round guy and Valentine was a seventh round guy. Now, was Stokes maybe overdrafted in the first? Probably. He was probably always more of a second round guy. Green Bay took him at the end of round one. Now, what are you going to do? Carrington Valentine was probably always supposed to be more of a, I think, third, fourth round guy, maybe fifth, that ended up going in the seventh. Had he gone in the third and Stokes gone in the second, maybe we wouldn't have this much of a discrepancy. But one went in the first, one went in the seventh. But even though Stokes is the better prospect, was a better player each of their rookie seasons, was a better player coming out, there's a reason he went first overall, these last 2 years have been a nightmare for him. His second year, before we get into any injury, before he ever has a, you know, any leg, anything, he was awful at the start of 2022. He was awful. Didn't look anything like his rookie year. And then, of course, had a, you know, injury that put him out the remainder of the year, almost got back, you know, during training camp, then had a setback, then finally gets back and then gets hurt on special teams, has another setback, finally gets back, starts two games, looks very rusty, and then has another setback and is out for the year after that. A nightmare two seasons for Eric Stokes. And again, while Carrington Valentine, we all love Carrington Valentine. I don't think there's any question. I don't think anyone's not excited about the potential for Carrington Valentine. But his 2023 was more okay than good to great. There is still a lot of growth for Carrington Valentine to do, which is a good thing. You want to see him take those steps, but those steps are not just granted automatically. Those are going to be earned. Stokes possesses the outside physicality and the speed to play press man on the outside. Valentine has the ball skills and playmaking ability along with, and this is not unimportant, an abundance of confidence and swagger. Stokes, you could tell, partly due to the injuries and partly due to the way he was playing, he lost confidence. He just did. And that's why Matt LaFleur mentioned that Eric Stokes was in the best He looked the best physically and the best mentally that he's ever seen him, because there was a point these last couple of years, in large part due to the injuries, that you could tell he just was not himself. He didn't have the confidence. He didn't have the energy. And when you see Eric Stokes playing with confidence and energy, that's when he's playing his best. But you didn't see that. With Carrington Valentine, he's got swagger and intensity and energy and positivity for days. I guarantee you, if he's got Randy Moss in his prime across from him, he thinks he's going to shut him down. He's got Jerry Rice in his prime, he thinks he's going to shut him down. The results may vary, but he has that confidence. And that is a really important trait to have at corner, because you are going to get beat. Period. End of story. Unless you're prime Darrell Revis, prime Deion Sanders, and even those guys would get beat from time to time, you're going to have setbacks almost on a game-by-game basis. You have to have the confidence to say, I don't care. Doesn't matter. I'm going to get you next time. And that's what Carrington Valentine has. With Stokes, again, you could see his confidence waver from time to time, even in the times that he's played these past couple of years. The other thing, though, Valentine will need to play to his new strength. We don't know how he's going to carry this weight quite as much. We think it's going to be a positive, but that's going to be a little bit of a different, sort of factor for him that we're going to have to see how he does with this newfound, strength. Does it take any sort of step away? And Stokes, meanwhile, is going to have to show that he's fully recovered, both physically and mentally, from all this time off over the last two seasons, and really get back to playing the way that he was as a rookie. This is a true battle, in my opinion, for the starting corner spot. And this is one, unfortunately, that I can't just tell you, yep, here's who's going to win. This will go down through the remainder of training camp. We'll see how much these guys play in preseason, but it will go up to week one before I think they make a true decision. Then this might be one of those scenarios where they don't announce a starter up until game time. And we might be, Domovsky and the guys that actually travel to Brazil have the binoculars out and looking who's lined up at starting corner when they start doing warmups. That might be when we actually learn who the starting corner is going to be. If I had to guess today, I think Eric Stokes wins the job. I think there is something to the fact that he got those opportunities in OTAs and minicamps. This is a super talented football player that they took in round one. I think they're going to give him the opportunity to win it. My personal preference, if I had to choose today, I would go with Carrington Valentine. I think there is more natural, innate corner ability and has that swagger and intensity. And there's just something to his game that I like, where with Eric Stokes, it's more like he's this unbelievable athlete, but he doesn't quite have the nuance of the position yet. And now we're in year four, coming off a bunch of injuries and downtime. And I almost just feel like, you know what? You didn't pick up that fifth year option for Eric Stokes. Let's get Carrington Valentine out on the field, because he will be here for the next few seasons, guaranteed. Eric Stokes is not guaranteed anything past this year. And again, he's had some injury concerns to go along with it as well. Hopefully, if everything goes according to plan, both of them ball out, compete, and are up to the task. Because we know the truth is they're going to need both of those guys at some point this season. They're not going to go with a full season where Jair Alexander and Eric Stokes and Carrington Valentine all just stay healthy the entire year. They're going to need all of those guys, and they're going to need them at their best when those big moments come, and hopefully playing their best when it matters most come playoff time. And the big thing too, both of these guys, whoever is the starter, is probably going to see more throws come their way, because if you were a quarterback, would you rather throw at Jair Alexander or Eric Stokes / Carrington Valentine? You already know the answer to that question. You want to throw towards the latter. You want to throw towards the one that's not number 23. So these guys are going to get a lot of throws coming their way, and they're going to have a lot of responsibility playing in more man coverage. And the player that holds up better is the one that's going to get the majority of those snaps this upcoming season. I am genuinely excited to see how this plays out. I think it could go either way. I think it is a true 50-50 toss-up. I'll say it one more time. My prediction will be Eric Stokes. My preference as of now will be Carrington Valentine, but I really, truly hope both of them just go out and absolutely kill it. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll be right back here tomorrow with an all-new episode. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broadad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Dan Gesford, and Peter Ataka. Until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.